18, verses 35 to 43, which you will find on page 1053 if you want to follow it in the Bible. A blind beggar receives his sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What was happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Thanks be to God.
Folks, if you were with us last Sunday, we met an incredible young man. He was called the rich ruler. He was a leader. He had great academic advantage. And it turns out that he had good morals in his life. He'd kept all the commandments. And he was exactly the kind of person that, you know, you would think, let's get a hold of him to serve God. He's got all these talents and abilities, and he would be great in leadership. And actually what happens is he refuses his opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus. It's incredible, because he's rich and he doesn't want to lose out on his wealth by leaving everything to go and serve Jesus. This week the contrast is palpable, because here we've got someone who's perhaps, you might say, socially challenged, a blind man, in fact, a blind beggar. And he's really someone who is sitting in the streets and depending on others for his very survival. Let's think of him as we go through these verses we read earlier. The blind beggar, verses 35 to 37. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." I mentioned earlier that I was in St. Andrews yesterday, and there were some beggars in the street there. And there's beggars in the streets of many of the cities in our land. They're pretty easy to spot. They've got their collection bowl or whatever it is. It was cost a coffee cup yesterday in St. Andrews. But you know what it is that they're looking for. It was the same in Jesus' day too. They were often found in the streets or at the city gates where the bulk of the people would pass by. Now this blind man, we don't know his name from this passage, but if we turn to the same account in Mark's gospel, he's called Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And his name Bartimaeus means one who honours God. Isn't that a lovely name? One who honours God. And as usual, he's sitting begging. He's asking for money, as beggars do. "Can you spare some alms for the poor?" The man is poor because he's blind. He can't work in other ways. He couldn't be a joiner or whatever, because he can't see what he's doing. And of course, blindness is something that people in our country suffer from today as well. There was lots of diseases that caused blindness in the ancient world. I was kind of fascinated as I was looking this up, but in Palestine and Egypt, there was a disease called purulent ophthalmia. I was wondering if Helen was in church today, because she's our eye expert, and she would know all the different kinds of things that can go wrong in our eyes. But this purulent ophthalmia was quite highly contagious, and it was spread by flies, and they often landed on babies and children as they slept at night. But there was many other potential sources of why Bartimaeus might be blind. What we discover is that he knows that there's a crowd going by. You know, it doesn't matter if your eyes don't work, you can certainly hear the noise of the throng. And he cries out, really as an appeal, what's going on? Why is it so busy? And he hears someone shout back, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Verses 38 and 39. What happens within Bartimaeus is quite obvious to us. He's told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he begins to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who rebuked him and told him to be quiet, shush, Jesus has got enough on his plate without you distracting him. But what happened? Bartimaeus calls all the more, have mercy on me. Now, the words that's used, have mercy, is a Greek word, elio. And it's the same words that would be used for alms. It's the same root word as the word that would be used for alms when you ask for money. And it's often mercy money, isn't it? It's money that shows that you are being merciful and graceful towards those who are in need. I guess what I like about this story is the man in some ways seems quite helpless and dependent on others. But he's not helpless when it comes to knowing what his need is and by doing something about it. Because this is not a feeble appeal. Actually, it's a loud and insistent call. And we've got the words called out, and the Greek is beoa, which means to vocalise at high volume. And the word that's also in our verse there that's translated as shouted is the Greek word krazo. And that means to loudly call out. And the very tense that is written in means that that's a continuous calling out. So he's calling out as loud as he can, and he keeps calling out, despite the fact that folk are telling him to shut up. Nothing's going to shut up this man. He wants Jesus to hear him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Some people can become quite private and subdued when things go wrong in their lives. I grew up with two cousins that were handicapped. One was born with a genetic disorder, and another was knocked down when he was seven and paralysed from the waist down. Gail's cousin has been blind since quite a young age. Some people can be subdued by their handicaps. My cousin played wheelchair basketball for Scotland. Gail's blind cousin is truly amazing, goes everywhere. He has his stick, and he just seems to be able to get about as if nothing would faze him. But it's also possible for us to kind of give in or to feel sorry for ourselves when things go wrong in our lives. But that's not what's happening in Bartimaeus. He's motivated to do something about it, and he has faith in Jesus because he calls him the Son of David. And that's the equivalent of shouting that Jesus, come on, you're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. They must have heard of Jesus to know that he can call him the Messiah. And if you don't count the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 and verse 31, I'm not saying you shouldn't count it, but up to this point, there's been no other instances where people have called out on Jesus as being the Messiah. And the words, Son of David, are soon about to unfold as Jesus is on his way to that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You remember the words? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been discouraging other people from calling him the Messiah. But now it's the time for it to be known. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He will be crucified, and there he will be unwilling to deny the title of being the Messiah, the Christ, or the King of the Jews. So what do we discover from Bartimaeus? Is he shouting to Jesus for mercy money? I don't think so. He's looking for something far greater. He's got faith that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah. He has something more important to ask of Jesus. Verses 40 and 42. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Now, I don't know if it's always obvious if somebody's blind or not, but Jesus seems to ask him a very obvious question. And knowing Jesus, I think it would have been very unlikely that Jesus hadn't already sussed out the man was blind, either because somebody had said or because he just knew it. God had told him. But the word that's translated about "see" here, what do you want from me? I want to see, is a Greek word, anablepo, and it simply means to gain sight. It's the same word that's used in verse 42, where Jesus commands Bartimaeus, literally, regain your sight. There's a hint there that maybe at some point he's been able to see before. And verse 43 gives the result. The result is, immediately he regains his sight. I was wondering, why has Jesus asked this obvious question? What is it you want? I came to two different conclusions. I think the first reason Jesus might have asked this is because he wanted it to be shown that faith in action is worthwhile. And it's therefore, as a witness to him and his miraculous power and to his kingdom. So, firstly then, to show faith in action. But it was also, secondly, to help the person themselves from determining what it is they want. Maybe if Jesus had presumed that he wanted to see, but actually he had a greater need, he might have jumped in and healed the man, and something more deeply rooted was in the man's heart. So I believe that Jesus asked this question so that we can learn from this whenever we meet people too. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to ask Jesus to do for you? These are useful questions that we should carry with us whenever we meet people, whenever we're ministering to others. Often people will be happy for us to pray for them, but do we just pray what we think they need rather than asking them what they would really like God to do in their lives? What I've discovered over time is that this is hugely important, engaging with people and asking them, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What would you like God to do in your life? We're asking for what's in their hearts, but at the same time, we're also listening. What is God saying to me at this time? And it's a combination of both of these things that we should carry with us. It might surprise you, but the truth is that not everybody wants to be healed of the thing that we might think is a disability. There was a couple here when I arrived in Dunbar who were hard of hearing or partially deaf, and they were quite against the idea that somebody would come and pray for them and that they would suddenly hear the way we do. They saw it as part of who they were. And actually, that's why it's important to ask what it is that people really want from God. I think for those folks, it was kind of like us presuming that they would want to be kind of normal like we are. And actually, they saw their disability as a special uniqueness. So let's learn from this not to be presumptuous. 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Jesus speaks a word, a command for healing. And the healing takes place immediately. It's not always like that. It doesn't always happen immediately. And it's not always by just speaking a word that Jesus heals other people. Sometimes he lays hands on them. Sometimes he lays hands on them and speaks. Sometimes he just speaks. I think the important thing is the same as what we've already just spoken of. Engage with a person on a personal level. Ask what their needs are. And also listen for what God is saying into each situation. Now in the NIV version, the version that we've been reading in the Bible, it talks about this, he is healed. The version that's known as the King James Version translates that Greek word as being he is saved, and the Greek word is sozo. And it means to rescue from dangers or afflictions. It means to save, and it can mean to save or free from disease. And there's loads of examples, references I can give you where it's used in that sense. But it can also mean to be saved or set free from some kind of spiritual negative thing like a possession of an evil spirit and so on. So it can be used in both these ways to mean saved, either spiritually or from some ailment or condition. But let's notice the important thing here is the faith that Bartimaeus shows. Once he hears that Jesus is there, he doesn't hang about. Immediately he begins to shout out for mercy at the top of his lungs, and continually he asks for mercy from Jesus, who is his and our Messiah. And it helps us to see an insight into Jesus and his true mission. It also encourages us to think about how unstoppable faith can be. It doesn't take no for an answer. The crowds want to shut him up, but he just calls out all the louder. What's going on? What does he really, really want from God? Well, he intensely desires to overcome his blindness. It doesn't matter if people rebuke him or think he's an embarrassment. He calls out. How does Jesus react? I think you can conclude that Jesus is pleased. Why does Jesus emphasize Bartimaeus' faith and the faith of others so many times when it's shown? You see, when he speaks about it and shares it as a witness, he points heavenward to God. Every time he speaks of folks' faith, he encourages us to see that having faith in God is a very wise thing to have. See what faith in God is able to do. Doesn't matter if the situation seems impossible. I wonder if we, as Jesus' disciples, see impossible situations or conditions that we think we have no power to touch into. Maybe we pray with less faith and just ask for folks to be blessed. I can be guilty of this. Maybe we should pray with this faith that Jesus has, one that points to a God who can do the impossible. How is our faith in our Heavenly Father? Verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. There was an obvious result in that event. The once blind man now becomes a disciple. The word translated as followed is the Greek akaluthio, and it means to become a follower and a disciple. And it's in, again, the imperfect tense, which means a continuous disciple. He keeps on being a disciple of God. His faith has taken him into the throne rooms of heaven. He's had a touch of God in his life, and he just won't let that go. He was ready. He was ready for that moment. I don't know what kind of faith teaching he had. I don't know how long he had sight before he lost it, but the moment was now for him. The moment might be now for some here today. I don't know if you feel a bit blind spiritually, whether you feel like a beggar in some respects, where you're kind of depending on what others say or do to help you. But what happened is he went from this dependent beggar to becoming a disciple, to start the journey of giving to others. Isn't that a transformation from taking to giving? And I'm really encouraged by this story of Bartimaeus. Go on, take Jesus to others, is what it says to me. Jesus healed this man of his blindness, and he brings glory to Jesus, not because it's just transformed his life physically, but it's given him everything he needs spiritually. And that's a powerful example to us of how it pleases Jesus for us to exhibit this living faith and to see the opportunities that are there for us as he passes by wherever we are sitting. And he also refuses to let Jesus pass by. He wants to grab what God is doing and willing to do. And this is the same God that's here with us today. Who would have thought that a beggar would become a giver? What might your faith in this same God help you to do for the kingdom? That's there for us all to think about and reflect on in the week ahead. Amen. Let's pray together.